Mikala afterwards can come and take food and make their way up to the front here, and we'll have an introduction around 9:15.
And it's Tu B'Av, or Letesvav Menachemov, Sunday night, opening night of Yarchei Kala, grab the Tavshinayim Gimel. Okay, so we learned Dvar Halacha, and the Halachas we're in the middle of learning about are things we do to remember or to express Avelus, because the last time we looked there was still no Beis HaMikdash. And that's supposed to concern us. So we're talking about the Kriya that you're supposed to tear. We're up to the Kriya of Ori Yehuda. And now we're talking about the Kriya over the Mokom HaMikdash that you see B'Churbano. And we went through a few halachas. And tonight we'll say over the halacha that a katan is potter mikriya. Okay. Women are chayiv in Kriya. So you got to work it out. You have to forewarn. They have to come either with a way of pinning it up, or really, me'ikar adin, you have to tear all your begadim ad libo, which, let's say, by a man would mean, well, not the tzitzis and not the undershirt, but if you're wearing a jacket, me'ikar adin, you would have to tear the jacket and the shirt. But it seems that the minig, it's okay, and it's commonly accepted to take off the jacket maybe and tear just the shirt. So a woman could put something on and tear the upper beged, and not the, tearing only one beged, rather than really the way the Shulchan Aruch says it. But apparently the minig, as in many things with the Kriya, developed not the way it rather says it in Shulchan Aruch, which is to tear all the begadim, but to tear one beged, and that suffices. So a woman could tear her top beged, or I guess the bottom beged underneath too, as long as she's not tearing both. Or she can come with a pin and try to get it through security. Or if she has no other eitzah, she could tear. It says, she can tear. If there's no eitzah and it's not sneostic, obviously, so she can tear the bottom of the beged she's wearing, even though that's really also not mikra din the way you're supposed to kriya. Okay, then we learn chavis al vavis. Now we're in a sort of strange perek of chavis al vavis, because he's not saying anything now, sentences. He's describing a Torah, a personality. He's describing someone who's a Porush, because we're learning Shar HaPrishus. He's describing someone who refrains from any excessive involvement in Olam Hazeh. Now, that's not talking about the food outside that's waiting for you. That's to encourage learning. That's good. That's a mitzvah, probably, maybe, hopefully. Okay, so you won't be prushing for the next 10 minutes. I don't know, but he's describing he has described people who are prushing out of necessity. They don't have money, so it's no big deal not to own an Audi, whatever number it is, if you don't have money to afford it. So he's describing how you can tell if someone's a Porush for the right reasons or a Porush for the wrong reasons. So he's just giving little descriptions. And we're just going through the perek dalet. It's a short perek, but he just throws out descriptions of a personality type. So we're up to he says ein rodef misha hiziko. He's careful not to take nakama. In other words, you wouldn't associate that with precious necessarily, but that's the beauty of this perek in Mechavis Halavos, is that he's saying a person that really has no, you see how many things, you go through the list of things and you see, like someone who's into getting what he wants, and someone who wants to enjoy Olam Hazeh, then so then the mele things bother him, and things that you might not associate with precious, but then you learn this paragraph of the Chayvus Haldovus, it's very instructive, besides what it's coming to tell you, but it's also instructive that the ripple effects of being a Porush, ein rodef misha hiziko. That'll be all we'll learn tonight. But what does it have to do with being a Porush? I mean, okay, you're not supposed to be rodef misha hiziko. If someone harms you, there's an issa nekama, there's an issa netira. You're certainly not supposed to be rodef him, which we all would like to do. If someone was mazik me, right, I'm going to get him back. I'm going to be Yared L'chayav. I'm going to tell the whole world what a Russia he is. I'm gonna, but the Purush, so why? Because really, the getting back at him is because I don't want to suffer a loss, and I don't want to have to go through that again, and I want to have this, and I want to have that, so I have to get him back. So I'm angry, and I want to. But the Purush is like removed from such feelings. The Purush accepts what Hashem has given him, and he doesn't want more than he has, and he's very, very sameach b'chelko. So like he has no motivation even. I think that's what you see. Like, this is just one example of the whole list. It's like he has no motivation to be rodef misha hiziko, because he's very, very sameach b'chelko, and that's part of being a Purush. So mamele he's ain't a rodef misha hiziko. That's full stop here.